Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome. Just as we prepare our hearts for worship today, we're going to just share in some song together. So feel free to continue talking to your neighbour if you wish. But the words will be on the screen, so you may join in.
You are my anchor, my light and my salvation. You are my refuge, my heart will not fear. Though my foes surround me on every hand, they will stumble and fall while in grace I stand. In my day of trouble, you hide me and set me above. To sing the song of love, one thing I will ask of you, this I will pray, to dwell in your house, O Lord, every day, to gaze upon your lovely face, and rest in the Father's embrace. Teach me your way, Lord, make straight the path before me. Do not forsake me, my hope is in you. As I walk through life, I am confident I will see your goodness with every step. And my heart directs me to seek you in all that I do. So I will wait for you, one thing I will ask of you, this time I pray, to dwell in your house, O Lord, every day, to gaze upon your lovely face, and rest in the Father's embrace.
You are my anchor.
You are my anchor, my light and my salvation. You are my refuge, my heart will not fear. Though my foes surround me on every hand, they will stumble and fall while in grace I stand. In my day of trouble, you hide me and set me above. To sing the song of love, one thing I will ask of you, this time I pray, to dwell in your house, O Lord, every day, to gaze upon your lovely face, and rest in the Father's embrace. One thing I will ask of you, this time I pray, to dwell in your house, O Lord, every day, to gaze upon your lovely face, and rest in the Father's embrace.
We're here to worship a mighty God, aren't we, this morning? So let's carry on singing together with Kevin Prosh's uncle, He is the Lord. If you felt motivated to stand, feel free. Here we go.
He is the Lord and he reigns on high. He is the Lord. Spoke into the darkness, created the light. He is the Lord. Who is like unto him, never ending in days. He is the Lord. And he comes in power when we call on his name. He is the Lord. Show your power, O Lord our God. Show your power, O Lord our God, our God. Your gospel, O Lord, is the hope for our nation. You are the Lord. It's the power of God for our salvation. You are the Lord. We asks not for riches, but look to the cross. You are the Lord, and for our inheritance give us the loss. You are the Lord. Send your power, O Lord our God. Send your power, O Lord our God, our God.
He is the Lord and he reigns on high.
He is the Lord and he reigns on high. He is the Lord. Spoke into the darkness, created the light. He is the Lord. Who is like unto him, never ending in days. He is the Lord. And he comes in power when we call on his name. He is the Lord. Show your power, O Lord our God. Show your power, O Lord our God. Show your power, O Lord our God. Show your power.
Please be seated, friends. We're going to sing one more song together before we continue. This is one that we learnt at our last circuit service, so it may be familiar to some of you. And it's a song that talks directly to the Holy Spirit, inviting him to come and be part of our worship here this morning, to bless us and empower us and equip us for all that we need to do together.
Lord God, Holy Spirit, we welcome you among us. Here now, in this place, we invite you to draw near, acknowledging our ineffectiveness when we stand alone. We're longing, Lord, to feel your power within. Please minister to each one's needs as we kneel before your throne. Please energize, transform, and heal us again. Lord God, Holy Spirit, transcending our limitations, freely have your way as we wait upon you here. Lord God, Holy Spirit, we welcome you among us. Here now, in this place, we invite you to draw near. So far beyond our expectations, you bless us every day. But humbly, Lord, we come to ask for still more. We put aside all vain distractions from walking in your way, assured that you will counsel, guide, and restore. Lord God, Holy Spirit, between need your fire within us. Sweep through waiting hearts as we move among us here.
Worship this morning. We are here first and foremost to worship God, and in our worship to welcome Joe to ministry in the circuit, pray for her and offer our support to her, and she likewise will pray for us and support the lot of us. It's a harder job, isn't it, than we're supporting her, but there you go. We are a split congregation, if you like. It's lovely to see every seat full in here. And there are people, they call it upstairs here, but it's the hall at the back. There are people in there. And shall we say hello to them?
Hi!
Did we hear them say it? Did you hear anything? We're sure you're there. We're sure you're there, and we welcome you as well. The young people have gone through into the hall as well at the moment, and they will come through back here for a prayer before they go off to the village hall for their meeting. Basically, our service this morning, there'll be three worship songs, hymns, prayer. The young people will leave. Then there'll be readings and a sermon of no more than an hour from the chair of the district. Then there'll be the official welcomes, prayers, and then we're going to share communion, which will be a great challenge to us, I'm sure, but we shall overcome it. It's going to be a continuous process. I'll remind you near the time, but David and the assistant will be at the front, and I assisted will be halfway down, and you will come out and take the bread and the wine and go back to your seats. And there will be Ian and Mark will be taking communion through to the hall. So we'll find our way forward, I'm sure. Let's begin with a prayer. Father, thank you that you welcome us into your midst. Thank you that you were here to welcome us when we came. You came with us from our homes, and you were there when we awoke. You watched over us overnight. We come to worship you because you are so much greater. You are the being upon whom we depend, the one who has given us our eternal souls, created us to bring you pleasure in worship and in fellowship with you. And we come to bless you in worship and thanksgiving, that we come to be blessed by your Spirit moving among us, within us, around us, to get the world into perspective, your perspective, to understand you, ourselves, and others. We worship the true God, Lord of lords and King of kings. So may your Spirit have free reign among us. We open our hearts. We do our best to open every aspect of our lives. Flow through us, Lord. Flow through us. So we offer ourselves as living sacrifices to you. Be glorified in us. We offer our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
So as God's family, let's stand to sing and worship the Lord, immortal, invisible, God only wise. Thank you.
Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. Unresting, unhasting, unsilent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, thou rulest in might. Thy justice like mountains, thy soaring above, thy clouds which are fountains of goodness and love. To all life thou givest, to both great and small, in all life thou livest, the true life of all. We blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but naught changes thee. Great Father of glory, pure Father of light, thine angels adore thee, all veiling their sight. O Lord, we would render, O help us to see, 'tis only the splendor of thy tideth thee. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. Most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise.
Don't sit down yet. Here we go, may the glory.
May the glory of the Lord fill his temple as we gather in this place. May the glory of the Lord touch his people as we meet here by his grace. Weak though we are, lift us from sin. Where our hearts wait, you long to come in. So, Lord, we pray, let your healing begin. Send us your Spirit today. May the glory of the Lord fill his temple, and may we him face to face.
May the glory.
May the glory of the Lord fill his temple as we gather in this place. May the glory of the Lord touch his people as we meet here by his grace. Weak though we are, you lift us from sin. Where our hearts wait, you long to come in. So, Lord, we pray, let your healing begin. Send us your Spirit today. May the glory of the Lord fill his temple, and may we meet him face to face.
Here
Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history you lived and died. You broke the chains, you rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear. Our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will receive. Lord, we believe. Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history you lived and died. You broke the chains, you rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear. Our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will receive. Lord, we believe.
Amen. Please be seated, friends.
Let's wait for the children to come through on their way to the village hall, and we'll share a prayer with them. While they're coming through, can we express our appreciation for the folk at Saxelby for hosting us, and especially to Alan Measures, who's worked very, very hard for us. Here they come. Come and we'll have a prayer together, then we'll send you on your way, and you can send us on our way. Let's bless these people with our prayers. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for one another. We thank you for the oldest person here and for the youngest and all us in between. We thank you for those who lead our young people's work, and we thank you for them. May your spirit go with them, and may your spirit fill the hall to welcome them as they go, as they get there. May they feel your presence with them. So bless them. Bless them with your glory, your love, and your peace, and your presence. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we might see you. May see you later if you come back in time to share with what you've been doing. Okay, see you later. Word of thanks also to Mark Thompson, who spent many, many happy hours setting up the electrics, projector, and the overflow screen, and very grateful to Mark for doing that. I'm wondering if there's anybody else I really ought to say thank you to at the moment. We thank you to our chair, David Parrish, for coming. He's got about 300 welcome services this week. It probably seems like that, but he's got 3 today goes on to Lincoln South, and then where do you go on to after that?
Deeping St James near Peterborough.
Oh, really? He's got his service on tape, and he just mimes now too. We've got 3 readings now, 2 from Micah and 1 from Matthew, and then David will lead our thoughts this sermon.
So our first reading is taken from Micah chapter 2, reading from verses 6 to 11, and it's in the Message. Don't preach, say the preachers. Don't preach such stuff. Nothing bad will happen to us. Talk like this to the family of Jacob. Does God lose his temper? Is this the way he acts? Isn't he on the side of good people? Doesn't he help those who help themselves? What do you mean, good people? You're the enemy of my people. You rob unsuspecting people out for an evening stroll. You take their coats off their backs like soldiers who plunder the defenseless. You drive the women of my people out of their ample homes. You make victims of the children and leave them vulnerable to violence and vice. Get out of here, the lot of you. You can't take it easy here. You've polluted this place, and now you've polluted. You're polluted, ruined. If someone showed up with a good smile and a glib tongue and told lies from morning to night, I'll preach sermons that will tell you how you can get anything you want from God. More money, the best wines, you name it. You'd hire him on the spot as a preacher.
The next reading's from Micah chapter 3, reading from verses 5 to 8, and this is also in the Message version. Here is God's message to the prophets, the preachers who lie to my people. For as long as they're well paid and well fed, the prophets preach, isn't life wonderful? Peace to all. But if you don't pay up and jump on their bandwagon, their God bless you turns into God damn you. Therefore, you're going blind. You'll see nothing. You'll live in deep shadows and know nothing. The sun has set on the prophets. They've had their day. From now on, it's night. Visionaries will be confused. Experts will be all mixed up. They'll hide behind their reputations and make lame excuses to cover up their God ignorance. But me, I'm filled with God's power, filled with God's spirit of justice and strength, ready to confront Jacob's crime and Israel's sin. Amen.
And the third reading, probably like you've never heard it before. Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 to 28. Then Jesus made it clear to his disciples that it was now necessary for him to go to Jerusalem, submit to an ordeal of suffering at the hands of the religious leaders, be killed, and then on the third day be raised up alive. Peter took him in hand, protesting, "Impossible, Master, that can never be." But Jesus didn't swerve. "Peter, get out of my way. Satan, get lost. You have no idea how God works." Then Jesus went to work on his disciples. "Anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. you're not in the driver's seat. I am. Don't run from suffering. Embrace it. Follow me, and I'll show you how. Self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. My way to finding yourself, your true self. What kind of a deal is it to get everything you want, but lose yourself? What could you ever trade for your soul? Don't be in such a hurry to go into business for yourself. Before you know it, the Son of Man will arrive, all in splendor of the Father, accompanied by an army of angels. You'll get everything you have coming to you, a personal gift. This isn't pie in the sky by and by. Some of you standing here are going to see it take place. See the Son of Man in kingdom glory. Amen.
God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. Amen. Good morning, everybody. Let's be absolutely clear at the outset, shall we, of why Joe is here. So, Joe, there is just one phrase which explains why you're here, and it's not the chair of district is incompetent. That may be true, but it's not the primary reason why you're here. The primary reason why you're here is that sentence at the top of the laminated sheet I hope everybody's got. Now, given that there are 300 more welcome services to do, and that's just this afternoon, I'd be ever so grateful if you'd hand the laminated sheets back in to the stewards as you go out. If you want a copy, there are some paper copies you can take if you wish. Okay? But if you just look at the top of the sheet, there, Joe, you see the reason why you're here. There you see why God has gifted Joe to you. Strive first for the kingdom of God. Notice, sisters and brothers, it does not say strive first for the church. It does not say that. Jesus didn't say it. You can look in the Greek, you can look in whatever you want to look in. You will not find Jesus saying to his disciples, or to you and me, and not to you, Joe, strive first for the church. And it's one of the biggest mistakes we've made in 2,000 years is to think that that actually is what Jesus meant. He doesn't. So you can relax now, Joe. I'm into making you feel relaxed. Strive first for the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God was Jesus' first priority, wasn't it? For Jesus, nothing was more important than those kingdom of God values which said, there is good news for the poor. The marginalized will be heard and brought in. The suffering cared for. It was a very active understanding of what God is about when God is let loose in our midst. Now, sometimes that has to do with the church. But not always. So strive first for the kingdom of God. Because as you heard in that wonderful gospel, which Alan read for us, when we get it wrong, Jesus gives us a hard time. He wasn't exactly gentle. You know, he'd not done the pastoral theology class at UTU as how to deal with the difficult member of the congregation. You notice Jesus just says, oi, leg it, be gone. You don't understand, Peter, what this whole life and death business of God's love is about. Because nothing mattered more to Jesus than his disciples understood that the kingdom of God and those for whom God has a passion, that's the priority. I think they're with me, but we shall see. So I was absolutely thrilled, chuffed, last January at initial ministerial stationing committee when the Lincoln North probationer's appointment came up. And I was sitting next to Joe's college principal. And I got all my hopes up, you see. And then when we were able to match Joe with this appointment, it was one of those moments where you want to go, yes, result. Chairs of district do have moments of emotion like that. So, you've got me to blame. So you know who to kick, Joe, don't you? You know, when the going is tough. But it was one of those moments, because I know that these things of the kingdom of God, social justice, those who are despised, overlooked, oppressed, abused, they're the people you care for, correct? That's what really motivates you. That's what makes you burn. Unless I've got it wrong, in which case I'm going straight out that door to Lincoln South. So what is it that this kingdom of God is all about? What is it that we struggle to get right? What is it that God wants of Jo here in this place as she strives first for the kingdom of God? Well, let's look at a couple of examples, shall we? Let's actually think about those people for whom God in Jesus has this profound care and concern. Brian McLaren, in his superb book, The Secret Message of Jesus, and the secret message, if you haven't read it, is the kingdom of God is at the heart of everything. You don't need to buy the book now. But in this book, he speaks very movingly of a conversation he had with Tony Campolo, the American evangelist. And Tony Campolo, I think, gives us a modern parable of where your priorities lie, Joe. Tony Campolo was in another time zone in the States, because it's so big. He was on another side of the continent, and he couldn't sleep. So after midnight, he wandered down to a donut shop, as you do, to get donuts and a coffee. So where is the donut shop in Saxelby? Is there one? That's open at 3:30 in the morning? Is there a takeaway open at 3:30 in the morning? You're going to have to open one. I'm sorry about this. So it's 3:30 in the morning, and Tony can't sleep. So he goes to the donut shop to get donuts and a coffee. And he realises that actually this is the place where the local women who work the street actually come at that hour of 3:30 in the morning. When they finish turning tricks, that's where they go. And they have coffee. And he's sitting there at a table, and he overhears this conversation between two of the women. One of them, whose name is Agnes, says, "You know what? Tomorrow's my birthday. Tomorrow I'm going to be 39. A friend snapped back, "So what do you want from me? Do you want me to get a cake, sing happy birthday to you?" The first woman, Agnes, replied, "Oh, come on, what are you being so mean for? Why do you have to put me down? I'm just saying it's my birthday. I don't want anything from you. I mean, why should I have a birthday party? I've never had a birthday party in my life," said 39-year-old Agnes after a night turning tricks on the street. "Why should I have one now?" You feel the echo of the people for whom Jesus died and where his priorities lie. So Tony gets an idea. Tony Campolo asks the shop owner if Agnes comes in every night. The guy says, "Yes, she does." So Tony invited him into a surprise party conspiracy. The shop owner's wife gets involved. They arrange for a cake, candles, party decorations for Agnes, who was, let's face it, to Tony, a complete stranger. They had never met. The next night, when Agnes comes in at 3:30 in the morning, after a night on the streets, they all shout in this donut shop, they all shout as she comes through the door, "Surprise!" And Agnes couldn't believe her eyes. All the donut shop patrons sang. She began to cry so hard she couldn't blow out the candles. And when the time came to cut the cake, Agnes said, "Do you mind if I don't cut it? I'd like to take it home just to keep it for a while and savour the moment." So she left carrying the cake like a treasure. And then, you know what? Tony led the guests in the donut shop in prayer for Agnes. The guy who ran the shop didn't realize Tony was a preacher. And he asked what church Tony came from. And you pick up the story on the front of the sheet. Tony says, I belong to a church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:30 in the morning. And the guy couldn't believe his ears. No, you don't. There ain't no church like that. If there was, I'd join it. Yeah, I'd join a church like that. That is the secret message of Jesus in a nutshell. That's why he died. That's the kingdom of God priority. Your job, it's too late to run. Your job, Joe, is to hold these people that Jesus loves before the church. Because they're the ones we exist for. Your job is to find the Agneses, to find the folk who gather in the donut shop at 3:30 in the morning, who don't know what love is or where hope's to be found. Because they're the people that Jesus spent his time with. Then at the bottom of the sheet, Joe, you've got a picture of Sitting Bull. Now, Sitting Bull is there because you're going to meet him at church councils. Or circuit meetings. Yes, we recognise that face and that look that says, you try and get that item through this agenda and you are going to have trouble. So it's there to encourage you, Joe, just to say we know what it's like, okay? I won't ask them to put their hands up if they feel in a Sitting Bull mood, but we shall see. But why is Sitting Bull there, you're wondering? And there is, I think, a really good answer. Because Sitting Bull was one of those voiceless, oppressed, minority people, just like Jesus. The Imperial Roman Empire put Jesus to death because he was a revolutionary. Because he wouldn't say the comfortable things. Because he wouldn't toe the line. He was such a threat with this language of a new kingdom, i.e. a new empire, that they put him to death. And he and his followers were persecuted. Rome wanted to eliminate them. And in the 19th century, the US government did precisely that to the native indigenous American people. Tribe after tribe after tribe were effectively wiped off the face of the earth as though they did not matter and had never existed. But when you actually listen to those voices from the underside of history, you find God speaking to you. The people who've been disregarded, the people who've been slaughtered, are very often the very people through whom and in whom we hear a difficult truth about who we are. Think Jesus and Rome, and you get the picture. And think of any number of political contexts today. So what did Sitting Bull have to say about these white settlers and the army which destroyed in a planned genocide his people? See, the language is difficult, isn't it? 30, 40 years ago, we wouldn't talk like that. We'd bought the Hollywood myth that Sitting Bull, bad red Indian, white settlers good. The simplicities of black hat, white hat. That was never the truth. Look at what he says. He was in fact gunned down after his arrest. He was murdered. But before that, this is what he said about those who were oppressing his people. The love of possession is a disease with them. Does not that sound terribly contemporary? Does to me. They take tithes from the poor and weak to support the rich who rule. So very different to his own way of doing community. Joe, you need to help us listen to those who are always on the underside of history. the victims of society, because they're the ones through whom God speaks to us. They're the ones in whom we meet Jesus face to face so often. So you're not here to make us comfortable. You're not here to help us do church as we think we want church. Which is why I offer you this image and a little bit of wisdom from Pete Rollins in his new book, Fidelity of Betrayal. That picture is in Geneva. It's St. Peter's Cathedral, great centre of the Reformation in Geneva. And it represents for Pete Rollins the institutional church in all its majesty, in all its certainty, in all its assuredness and its glory, that it's got the truth and it knows how to do kingdom of God, and it's got Jesus taped. And there, just across the square, you'll notice a statue of the prophet Jeremiah. And Pete Rollins says all of us as Christians, we live somewhere in the space between the two, between what it is to be a prophet, turning away in shame and disgust from the church, because the church has fallen so far short in understanding what the kingdom of God is all about and the priorities of Jesus, and the church we love. And we find ourselves somewhere there. Aren't you glad you came? But we live with that tension, that critical, prophetic honesty about the church of which we're a part, which drives us nuts a lot of the time. But let's not talk about, well, I won't talk about the things that drive me mad, many of them located in London, but there you go. You love it, you loathe it, it's the wonderful church. But Joe isn't here to say just the nice things to you. She's here to be a prophet. She's here to reflect back to you what God needs you to hear. Is that all right? I'm not very convinced. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay, you heard it here first. So if we turn it over, you'll have that wonderful passage from Micah, which we all recognize. All the tensions of being in ministry, Joe, are there in that passage. All the expectations folk have of you, of me, of all of us, they're there in that passage. We want you to say all the things that we want to hear, but don't say the difficult stuff. That's what this passage is seeking to address. All those tensions of what can I say, what can't I say, dare I say. Lincoln North, I make a plea to you today. Being a probationer is a tough call. Because all the passion Joe's got about the kingdom of God and the priorities of Jesus are held in tension with you are the guys and gals who will actually ultimately determine whether she gets ordained or not. And that is a horrid place to be, stood between church and prophet. Bear that in mind when she says the difficult things, as no doubt she will, when she challenges you to look beyond church, to kingdom people, and to the vulnerable. It's a difficult place to be when your life and your livelihood is on the line. The temptation always is to say the easy thing and to keep your mouth shut. But just look at what Jesus said to Peter when he did it. And please be kind to Joe. The district, we're fluffy, cuddly, and kind. Aren't we, Ian?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. We'll be supportive. But that's the tension here. And look at what the answer is, I think, Joe. Just be filled with God's power. Just be filled with that spirit of notice, justice, and strength. Ready to confront this hurting world which is so full of injustice with God's words of truth. Which is why I've given you a little text from John Caputo, the American philosopher and theologian. You know that wonderful phrase which comes from Sheldon's book back in the 19th century, what would Jesus do? You may even have a bumper sticker. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? Caputo, as a philosopher, has really worked with that and actually says, as you see, well, what would Jesus do? Well, he'd stop doing a lot of what the church does in his name. He would deconstruct a lot of what we think the priorities are. And we'd suddenly find ourselves amongst the Agneses of this world, the Sitting Bulls of this world, the people that the church currently doesn't reach. There's that mica tension. So I'd like to say to you, because I'm a biologist, why not look at it as being an enzyme? I don't suppose you were ever told in training that actually, as a minister, you are an enzyme. But take it from me, that's a really good analogy for what you're going to be doing. Because the enzyme doesn't do all the work itself, does it? Those of you who are biologists will correct me. The enzyme actually acts as a catalyst in bringing things together and making reactions happen. So don't expect the poor old enzyme to do it all. But expect your minister as an enzyme to make things happen which otherwise might not have happened by putting people together, by networking them together in such a way that the Holy Spirit is liberated to do the things God wants to do. Does this sound all right? You probably wouldn't tell me if it weren't, but when you get to know me better, you will, like the rest of them. But notice, enzymes work by lowering the activation energy. So it's easier for reactions to happen. And they go quicker and faster. It's a really good way to think about a new ministry starting. You've got a new enzyme in your midst. Wow, what's going to happen? But just notice, there are inhibitors and there are activators. You can choose which you are. Maybe you'll swap between the two. But sometimes you'll get really wound up and want to be an inhibitor. At other times, you'll get really passionately wound up and want to be an activator. But in all of that, spare a thought for the poor old enzyme who's simply there in the middle trying to make stuff happen for the glory of God. So what is this kingdom of God that you're striving first for? Brian McLaren rightly says kingdom is a word that we shouldn't really use. It's not helpful anymore. And he's tried to think of different words, Joe, which might work. Play with them. You've got them listed, those six words. You're invited by Jesus to the dream of God. That wonderful dream that God has for how the world can be, for how your life, my life, our society, our communities can be transformed by radical love as each of us play our part in the kingdom. Because it's about each of us. So it's a dream God's got that's caught you up and bunged a dog collar around your neck and set you loose here in Lincoln North. Because it's a dream which is about a revolution. Jesus was a revolutionary. So are we who dare call ourselves Christians. Revolution is what we're about. Because God calls us into that mission. God's passionate mission. Where we're all invited to join in that revolution and that dream. Which means you're going to start throwing parties. You look into the Gospels, Jesus is a great party animal. Trust me. He throws parties for people that nobody else would invite, because that's God's way. And the church has open doors and open hearts. The church exists to make the kingdom possible, but isn't the kingdom by itself. So throw some parties and network with God. I mean, my daughters who are 19 and 21, they text all the time. That's how they keep in touch. That's where modernity has got to. Instant communication, networking is the thing. You're going to be God's networker, bringing people into contact with one another to release the power of the Spirit so that they can take part in the dance of God. Now, I don't dance. It's not a pretty sight. But God invites us to dance with joy in this network, this party, this mission, this revolution, this dream. Go for it, Joe. Go for it. Enjoy it. Be enthused in it. But above all else, strive first for the kingdom of God. Amen. Don't know if that was an hour, Stephen, but I think I may have let you off lightly. Oh, he's a flattery. So it seemed like 2 minutes. Right, Joe, would you like to come and join me? Sorry? Oh, no, don't, you see. I work within a very narrow bandwidth, and apparently there's a hymn first. Is that right? We'll have a hymn first before we do the beat.
Let's stand and sing together, friends. Behold the servant of the Lord, I wait thy guiding eye to feel.
As at this point we formally welcome Joe into ministry in this Lincoln North circuit. And if you find page 358 and following, you'll see that there are some words in bold print. I encourage you to say those loudly, heartily, with great feeling to show your support of this ministry which begins. So, sisters and brothers, I present to you Joe, whom the conference has appointed to serve in this circuit. Joe, will you hold before us this great kingdom story of God's love and mercy, above all the gospel of our Saviour Jesus Christ? And will you be among us as one who preaches this life-giving word of God, administers baptism, presides at the Lord's Supper, teaches the faith, and cares for the flock?
I will. I ask God to help me, and I invite you all to join with me in proclaiming the gospel of life and hope.
Through Christ, we have good news to share. Joe, will you hold before us God's call to holy living, and be among us as one who awakens the careless
and strengthens the faithful.
I will. I ask God to help me, and I invite you all to join with me in commitment to the way of Christ.
May we reveal Christ's way through our words and example.
Joe, will you hold before us God's deep commitment to human community, to our neighbourhoods and all who live within them, and to this world that God has made?
I will. I ask God to help me, and I invite you all to join with me in sharing God's all-embracing love. May we respond to Christ in all we meet.
And now the welcomes on behalf of the circuit and the wider ecumenical community.
Would you like to come over this side, Joe? Forgot where I am, can't find the book, but... First off, a welcome from Circuit Stewart.
Okay. We're now on page 361 in the worship book. Sisters and brothers, will you welcome Jo, and will you offer her your friendship, support and prayers as we join together in the work to which God has called us?
With God's help, we will.
Shake Joe's hand if you like. You can sit down now, you've done your job. I think we were trying to arrange for a lay reader from the Anglican Church to come and, I'm not sure if that happened. No, is there anybody from a church other than the Methodist Church here? No? They all tend to be working on a Sunday. It's
terrible, isn't it?
So about it. Have Stuart, senior stewards or reps from Saxby? Can we have Saxby first? And from Sturton.
I'd like to welcome you from Sturton. There's a few of our congregation here this morning, some of the younger ones. We're quite an old congregation, a congregation of probably 20 to 25, but we're looking forward to seeing you with us in about a fortnight. All the very best. Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you. From Herman West. Sprightly Charles dashes out.
Well done, Charles.
Watch out for Charles, he's the treasurer.
We're a very small church, but we're very active. And if ever you want lunch on a Tuesday, we do lunch. And we welcome you. We're a small church with small numbers, but we're very active on a very day.
Oh.
I didn't kiss the last minister.
Charles just said he didn't kiss the last minister. This is just as well, Charles, because I know what his response would be.
He hasn't kissed me yet either.
Don't chance it, brother.
And Rose from Ingham to welcome you.
You never have to apologise to me.
An opportunity for, I think, the first three people from churches other than those in which Joe will have pastoral care. I'd like to have three people just on the wider circuit come and welcome Joe. Don't be shy.
Joe and the Bertram of this church, we welcome you into our circle of fellowship and fellowship. And I pray that, well, we all pray that as you give out, God's Holy Spirit will continue.
two others. In faith, I ask for two.
My Lord, only I am left.
Do we have one more? Who? Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much. After the service, in another hour's time, I think, Joe will go through into the Wesley room here if you would like to come and offer your best wishes to her after the service. So she'll be there.
Can I make a suggestion? Joe, we're delighted to welcome you on behalf of the Connection and the district. It's really, really good you're here. Can I suggest that you put your hands together and offer a real warm welcome to Joe?
We have to respond.
Yes, you can respond. Yeah.
I am so looking forward to working with you and praying for you and being part of this community. Thank you.
I have with me a great big certificate here, which. You know, the Connection is cutting down on costs where it can. So now get four of these out of a sheet of A4. It's the authorisation for Joe to preside at the Lord's Supper. So it's for 12 months, so you'll be renewed for another year.
It's like a get-out-of-jail-free card, I think you'll find.
And when you get to conference, you could ask the secretary of the conference to sign it as well, because I don't think it's done, so.
He has. There he is.
Oh, is that the secretary?
Yes, that's the president. That's the secretary.
Oh, right, that's right. Yes.
Yeah, it's all there.
Yes, so there you go.
Page 361 there in the worship book. 361. Let us pray. In faith we pray to God, who is more ready to hear than we are to ask. Let us pray for the whole church of God, that rejoicing in our richness and variety, we may seek peace and unity and be constantly renewed for mission and service. The Lord hears our prayers. Thanks be to God. Let us pray for the churches of our circuit and district, and for other churches in this area, that rejoicing in our common heritage, we may strengthen each other and be built up in love. Lord, hears our prayer.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray for the life of the world, that rejoicing in our common humanity, we may reject the ways of war and conflict and work together for justice and peace.
Lord hears our prayer.
Thanks be to God.
Let us rejoice in the communion of saints, that strengthened by their faithful example, we may follow the way of Christ and live to God's praise and glory. The Lord hears our prayer.
Thanks be to God.
Give us wisdom, Lord, to know your will and the courage to do it. May our words declare your love, and may our compassion give substance to our words. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We say together the prayer that Jesus gave us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Very much, Ian. Now, as is our custom, we shall take an offering for the circuit funds. You've been so good to us, and you continue to be. You've given us so much and so generously. You've given us a life in a world full of beauty. You've given us life communicating with others and with you. You've given us hope of a life so much fuller in fellowship with you. You've given us so much, and we offer these gifts as a token of the giving of ourselves in love and in service and in worship of you. We thank you for those who have given. Keep us cheerful in giving, and may these gifts be used wisely in the service of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Come to communion, and you noticed how well Mark has worked this with this sort of having the projector just the right height over my head. Anybody taller would struggle, so it's been very precisely worked out in the great trigonometry, however it is, details, whatever. Don't know if David would like to come and share this with me. You might get the projector in your eyes, but...
I'll do whatever you say, Mr. Superintendent, you know that.
We don't provide projective glasses, I'm afraid. Right. Reminder of what we will do to give you the bread and the wine, in that there are four people who are going to assist. Is that right? Which are the four who are going to assist? There's one, two, the stewards, the lay stewards who are going to help us. There should be four. Well, we'll work that out when we get to it. But I will go and serve the back six rows in here, and David, with his assistant, will serve the rest. We will work from the front of those rows. And then Mark and Ian will take the bread and the wine with their assistants through into the hall. And when they get there, they'll work out how they will do that best. They will use the initiatives which they have been blessed with. We'll work it out, and I'm sure that what we do, we shall do to the glory of God. We'll work our way through communion. I'm sorry for those who haven't got books. I hope many of you can see it. It's on page 179. It's a service for Pentecost in times of renewal. It is one with perhaps fewer responses than many of the others, so it should be helpful in that way. But we give glory to God, and we come to him and seek his ministry to us in our sharing of communion. The thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let's give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give us thanks and praise.
It is indeed right. It's our duty and joy, gracious and holy Father, always and everywhere to give you thanks. In the beginning, your spirit swept across the face of the waters, bringing order and beauty out of chaos. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. Though we turned away from you, your love remained steadfast. You sent your only Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Saviour of the world. At his baptism in the Jordan, he was anointed by your Spirit, revealed as your beloved Son. In the power of the Spirit, he was sent to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. Sharing our human nature, he died on the cross. But you raised him again in glory, and he lives forever to pray for us. By the gift of the Spirit whom you have sent in his name, you bring to completion the work of your Son, leading us into all truth, making us a people for your praise, and giving us power to proclaim the gospel in all the world. So with all the faithful of every time and place, we join with choirs of angels in the eternal hymn. Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night before he died, the Lord Jesus took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine. He gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of all his mighty acts, we offer you these gifts, and with them ourselves, as a holy, living sacrifice.
You send forth your Spirit. You bind us in love. You renew the face of the earth.
Pour out your Holy Spirit, that these gifts and bread and wine may be for us the body and blood of Christ. Unite us with him and with one another in mission to all the world, and bring us with the whole creation to your heavenly kingdom. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread.
Now come, let us share in the bread and the wine. The body of Christ, we remember his sacrifice for us.
So we join together in the prayer on page 183. God's invitation to us to strive for God's kingdom. Let us pray. God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us, may the gentleness of your Spirit lead us, and may the gifts of your Spirit equip us to serve and worship you now and always. Amen.
So to our final hymn, which I think, Joe, you've chosen. It's one of my favourites, so thank you for choosing it. And it's to a very well-known tune, the Londonderry Air.
Shall go out with hope of resurrection. We shall go out from strength to strength, go on. We shall go out and tell our stories boldly. We'll build a love that will not let us go. We'll sing our songs of wrongs that can be righted. We'll dream our dream of hurts that can be healed. We'll weave a cloth of all the world united, within a vision of a Christ who sets us free. We'll find a voice to those who have not spoken. We'll find the words for those whose lips are sealed. We'll make the tunes for souls who sing no longer, vibrating love alive in every heart. We'll share joy with those who are still weeping, chant hymns of strength for hearts that break in grief. We'll leap and dance the resurrection story, including all within the circles of our love.
I wonder if before the blessing, if we could just be seated for a moment. I believe the children and young people have things that they'd like to just share with us. And whilst we're waiting them to come through, a quick advert. I don't know about your diary, but mine is looking fairly free between the early hours of Saturday morning. Now, we have an all-night prayer meeting.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen. There's one signed up. We're starting at 7 p.m. on Friday at Balegate Methodist Church, and this is primarily for the circuit. We want to seek the Lord for his will for us as a circuit, for us as individuals in our walk with God, but for us as a circuit, as individual, as churches, communities. And we're going to commit 12 hours of prayer to this. Mark and I will be there throughout, but each hour will be interspersed with worship and times for fellowship. So we really do encourage you to come along and join us for as little as or as long as you feel able. But we're serious about this. We really feel that God's Spirit is on the move. And I, for one, don't want to miss out. So please consider coming along for some or all of the time to share with us at 7 p.m. On Friday at Balegate. Thank you. So, shall we have the children and young people? Shall we welcome them?
Well, we've been with you all the time in spirit, and we started off in our work today by having special name badges. Can you show us your name badges? You made them yourselves because you're all important, all individual. That was the first bit. And then we talked about Samuel. And we talked about the baby Samuel being given to the church. We talked about the idea of giving a baby to the church as a very, very young boy and actually sleeping at church. And that was quite a weird idea. And we were talking actually in the circuit, we're going to be sleeping at church soon because we're getting together as a circuit with the youth to do a big sports event together and have great fun overnight and loads of messing about and probably no sleep at all, and it'll be marvellous. And then we'll give them back to you. So that's what's coming up. But also, we've been talking about the fact that God spoke to Samuel. He had a priest that he could have spoken to, but he spoke to a child. Mustn't miss that one. If we're talking about the move of the Spirit, we need to be listening to the children, because God can speak to them too and through them. The younger group have made little telephones so they can talk to God anytime they like. Cups and strings. There we go. One cup. Jenna, talk to me. Notice with you, it goes to the mouth first, not the ear. You could say something very similar. Well done. So we made those to talk about listening to God. Prayer is not just about talking to God, it's about listening to God, spending time listening. And the reason it's difficult for children is they don't stop long enough except for when they're asleep. So that's why God came to him at night. Brilliant. Okay, and what else? We talked about God speaking to the older children. In the older children's group, every single one, listen to this, every single one of the older children that came into the group today had heard the voice of God. You want a future? There's your future. But we need to look after them today. They're part of the church. They're not the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today. They need to be present in every one of our congregations. However we battle to do that, we've got to do battle to get them back in. Because if we lose another generation, there's going to be another big gap in church in 20, 40 years' time, which we've been told about on numerous occasions, about this massive gap that we've got in our churches. We mustn't let it happen again. We've got to listen to the children and let the children listen to God. Thank you.
Well done, God.
The Spirit of truth, lead us into all truth. Give us grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to proclaim the word and works of God. And the blessing of God, the giver of life, the bearer of pain, and the maker of love, be our joy, our inspiration, and our hope, this day and forever. Amen. Amen. So we go into the world in the power of the Spirit to fulfill our high calling as servants of Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.
true there. They're not going to put her on a throne or anything, but... do come and say hello to her on your way out. And the folk uphill, upstairs, if you would like to come and come down as well and say hello to Joe. Thank you for coming.